The promises of God are a constant source of blessing to every Christian. No Christian has been long in the way without having occasion to thank God for His promised grace and help in time of need. My grace is sufficient for thee is a promise upon which we all have leaned. All things work together for good to those who love God, to the called according to His purpose, is another promise which we believe, and because of our faith in the promises of God from which we have received a blessing. Peter says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." As Christians, we have found the promises of God a part, a substantial part of our present inheritance. They have given us peace in the midst of storm. While others view with alarm the present turbulent world, we view with hope the promised blessing. And in these promises, we do find hope for a fear-filled world. God's promises also tell us of the future inheritance of Christians. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give to thee a crown of life. The crown of life, the crowning life, immortality. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Wonderful promises these. But I am not discussing the first resurrection. I'm going to talk about the promise that tells of another resurrection to follow the first resurrection. I am not going to discuss reigning with Christ 1,000 years, but rather how that 1,000-year reign of Christ will affect your family and mine. Yes, how that 1,000-year reign of Christ will affect all the families of the whole earth. One of the first promises that God made to man is recorded in Genesis, the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse. There to Abraham, God promised, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." It would be strange indeed if Abraham had not emphasized in his mind that God had said that a blessing would come through him, through Abraham. However, it is not strange if you and I today emphasize the fact that all the families of the earth will be blessed because of that promise. We also rejoice with Abraham and with all the families of the earth in the assurance that this promise gives us of blessing at this time in the world's history. But some think that God is slack concerning His promises. They have seen centuries roll down the mat of history, but they have not seen the families of the earth blessed in accordance with this promise from God. They have seen wars and trouble and distress. They have seen deceit in preparing the people for slaughter. They have seen men spend billions in wealth and barrels of human blood in order to carve for themselves a place in the annals of human folly. They have seen rivers run red with blood, while the rivers of blessing to all the families of the earth are dry in their beds. We know these things, but we also know that God is not slack concerning His promises. We have proven that in our Christian life. We know that His promise to Abraham will be fulfilled. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 13 and 14, we read, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee." And therefore, upon the authority of God's honor, we have the assurance that this promise will be fulfilled. God repeated this great promise that he had made to Abraham's son, Isaac. And again later, he repeated it to Jacob. I am going to read these two scriptures and see if you can catch a difference in expression between the two. In Genesis 26th chapter, verses 1 through 4, we read, And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him, and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In Genesis the 28th chapter, verses 10 through 14, we read, And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there at night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Did you notice the difference in the promise as repeated to Isaac and to Jacob? I am sure that you did. To Isaac, the promise was made that this seed would be as the stars of heaven. But to Jacob, the promise was that his seed would be as the dust of the earth. But both were assured that all the families of the earth would be blessed. Let us remember that. And now, with that thought in mind, let us read Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and the 15th through the 18th verses. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. To Abraham, the promise was that his seed would be as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the seashore. To Isaac, the promise is that his seed will be as the stars of heaven only. To Jacob, the promise is that his seed will be as the sands of the seashore only. What does it mean? I believe that this is simply another proof of the two parts of the great kingdom of God. There are many such proofs in the scriptures. I would that we understood this division of the kingdom of God better. In Acts, the 15th chapter, and the 13th through the 17th verses we read, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, that doeth all these things." A people for his name. And after a people for his name has been chosen, we are assured that the residue of men will call upon the Lord. Here is the same thing proven in this great promise of God. Isaac, the spiritual seed, representing the heavenly phase of the kingdom of God, and Jacob, the earthly seed, representing the earthly phase of the kingdom of God. Let us look further into the word of truth. Let us look into the New Testament to see if this great truth is really so. In Galatians, the third chapter, and starting with verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the 17th through the 19th verse, we read, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Here we find that Christ was typed by Isaac. No wonder then that it was Isaac who was given the promise that his seed would be as the stars of heaven. But to fully enjoy this promise, we must know that the seed was not Christ alone. Because in Galatians, the third chapter, we read this, For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. In Romans, the 9th chapter, and the 7th and 8th verses we read, Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So, From Pentecost until the present time, one here and there have heard the call and have done something about this invitation to be of the seed of Abraham. Our Master said, "If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There have been those who, through the spirit of consecration and through the spirit of devotion, have followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These shall be of the spiritual seed of Abraham. These are pictured as the stars of heaven. These shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. For if they be Christ, then are they Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here, you see, the church is included as the stars of heaven or the spiritual seed. And as star differeth from star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Some might ask, why is it so long since God has made his promise that he would bless all the families of the earth, and yet all the families of the earth have not been blessed? And the reason is that God could not bless all the families of the earth until the seed was complete. Because the promise was, "In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And therefore, the church, the bride of Christ, the little flock, had to be chosen from among men before the time would come when that promise would be extended to all the families of the earth. The spiritual seed will have part in the first resurrection. The spiritual seed will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, we are told in Romans that there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So that not only natural Israel, but all the families of the earth will be blessed as the sand upon the seashore, as the dust of the earth, as the earthly seed in the kingdom of God, for which we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven." To understand this great truth is to make the study of the Bible much more enjoyable. We all know that there are texts of Scripture that tell us that some will go to heaven. Our Master said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The Master says that we will live and reign with him. On the other hand, there are many promises found in the Bible that speak of wonderful conditions to be established here upon the earth, where men shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, where nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and when they learn war no more. We know that this promise does not refer to a heavenly condition, but to an earthly one. And then again, where the Bible says that they shall build houses and inhabit them, and plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them, that one shall not plant and another eat, one shall not build and another inhabit, but every one shall sit under his own vine and his own fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. When we realize that this great promise that God would bless all the families of the earth is divided into the assurance that some will receive a spiritual reward as the stars of heaven, and that all the families of the earth will be blessed upon the earth as the sands of the seashore, we realize the wideness of God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and the 8th verse, we have a remarkable text of Scripture, and I am going to read it to you. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Did you notice the words that I have just read? If you did, you noticed that I told you what the gospel really is. Let me repeat. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. There, God tells us what the gospel truly is. The gospel is that all nations shall be blessed. Do you believe the gospel? Or do you believe in hellfire and brimstone or something of that kind? Some might say, Oh, no one believes in hellfire and brimstone anymore. You would be surprised to know how many do still believe in that doctrine, which is a dishonor to the name of God. Personally, I prefer the gospel that God preached to Abraham. I prefer the gospel that tells us that through the great kingdom of God, all the families of the earth will be blessed. May I read Acts 3:19-21? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began. And Acts 4:1-2. And as they speak unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. In this sermon by Peter, we have another apostle who speaks of the promised blessing of all the families of the earth. And he says that during that time, there will be a restitution of all things. He tells us not to be ashamed of teaching restitution to the people, that the kingdom of God will restore to man the blessings that were lost in Eden. Because, he says, all God's holy prophets have so preached down through the ages. Let me read the importance again of this message. It says, Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophet, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now let me read the first two verses of chapter 4 again. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You see, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they knew that the resurrection of the dead would have to take place in order for the blessing to reach all the families of the earth. Because if all the kindreds of the earth were to be blessed, and some of those kindred were already in their graves, before that blessing could extend to them, there would have to be a resurrection of the dead. That is what the apostle was preaching. The religious leaders of that day did not like it. They do not like it today. It doesn't fit into the creeds of men. But we will continue to preach through Christ the resurrection of the dead. To us it is the old-time religion, the old-time gospel. It was good enough for God to preach to Father Abraham. It was good enough for the Apostle Paul when he said that it was the true gospel. And it was good enough for Peter. Yes, it was good enough for all God's holy prophets since the world began, and it is good enough for us. Therefore, the blessing will come. God's promised blessing to all the families of the earth is assured upon the authority of God Himself. It will come through the anointed Christ, through the seed of Abraham. And our assurance for this hope is in the realization that our prayer will be answered and that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God has promised it. He will do it. And so, the stars of heaven are being chosen now. They will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years, the church of God. Then as the sands of the seashore, the residue of men, all the willing and obedient, yea, even those who have gone down into death, will be blessed in the establishment of that great kingdom that we have been taught to pray. I want to read Psalms, the 22nd chapter, and the 27th verse. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Him. And in Psalms 105, the first 9 verses, O give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing songs unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God, His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant He made with Abraham and His oath unto Isaac. Therefore, in the full assurance of the power of God to fulfill His promise, we look forward to the time when that promise that He made to Abraham will be fulfilled, when He said, In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And because we do believe that, we pray with hope and with understanding, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven.